Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Chinatown is one of the most iconic films from the 1970s. Roman Polanski directed it, Robert Towne wrote the Oscar-winning screenplay, and Jack Nicholson starred as a different kind of detective. It also signaled the end of an era in Tinseltown. That's the argument that Sam Lawson makes in his book, The Big Goodbye, Chinatown and the Last Years of Hollywood. Sam joins us and shares the reason he wanted to devote an entire book to Chinatown.
Well, the obvious answer, the most accessible answer, is I love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But why I decided to write about it now was because when Trump won, I turned to my friend Graham, who I was watching the election with, and I, after a moment of just like abject shock and speechlessness, I thought to myself, what's the movie precedent for this? You know, I'm a movie guy, so I think, you know, I look for stories in movies, I guess the way other people look to, you know, religion. How can I organize my thinking around this kind of terror and corruption? And the first character that came to my mind was Noah Cross from Chinatown.
See, Mr. Gitz, either you bring the water to L.A. or you bring L.A. to the water.
How are you going to do that?
By incorporating the valley into the city. Simple as that.
How much are you worth?
I have no idea. How much do you want?
I just want to know what you're worth. Over 10 million?
Oh, my, yes.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
The future, Mr. Gitz. The future.
So then I thought, oh, okay, yes, that's what's going on now. And in the course of research, I began to get more into the metaphor of Chinatown and saw that it was really about trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nicholson's character has a Chinatown in his past. Something bad happened in Chinatown in his past, and it turns out that he repeats it. And I thought, oh, well, this is about all of us. I mean, Trump or not, we are all, whether we know it or not, compulsively repeating the traumas of our past. So the human condition component of it was profound.
Mm, yeah. In 1969, Robert Towne tells his girlfriend, Julie Payne, that he wants to write a movie for his friend Jack Nicholson. What kind of a story did Towne have in mind when he first started thinking about Chinatown?
He wanted to write something about the Los Angeles that he remembered that was gone. He grew up in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And the impetus for his nostalgia was the Manson murders, the Tate LaBianca murders, which changed the city literally overnight. A lot of people use, you know, overnight to mean, well, maybe a couple weeks.
But this is literally overnight.
This is, yeah. It was literally overnight. And so one could look back to even yesterday and say, LA was different yesterday. And that became the basis for Towne wanting to investigate other changes in L.A. and the origin story of L.A. And Julie Payne went to the library to do some research, and she brought back a book by Carey McWilliams called Southern California, An Island on the Land, which is a beautiful book, not just a great history, but beautifully written.
Mm.
Anyhow, in that book, Towne found the story of what became the basis of Chinatown.
Yeah, that's the story about the true life story about the Owens Valley water wars, correct?
Yes, the stealing of the water, the forcing of a drought, the buying up the land. And he realized, wow, Los Angeles is built on a crime. And not only that, but the criminals get away with it. And not only that, but they're celebrated because they're looked back upon as the city fathers.
Yeah.
So the ironies of that were terrible and compounded by what was going on at Vietnam and Watergate and Nixon. Our leaders were showing themselves to be bad guys, Noah Crosses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you take me back to the day, whenever it was, when Robert Towne proposed this idea to Jack Nicholson?
Well, Towne and Nicholson had been buddies going back to the 50s. They had gone to acting school together, Jeff Corey's acting class. So by the time Towne sits down to write Chinatown, they've known each other for, oh, maybe 15 years. Towne hasn't had a breakout. He's had some small success. And Nicholson is, although a movie star, not a leading man. So Towne says to Jack, I am going to write you a part that will make you a leading man with a love story. that happened on Quincy Jones's tennis court.
Hmm.
And Jack said, oh, you know, whatever you want, Beaner, which is what he called Town.
Robert Town wanted Jack to play a different kind of detective in this film, different from what we'd seen in film noir and previous detective movies. Can you talk a bit about that?
If you look at the tradition of Chandler, the most famous writer of detective fiction, certainly one of the most famous writers of L.A. fiction,
mm-hmm.
his guy, Marlowe, had a real morality. He was noble. In fact, Chandler even thought of him as a sort of a modern-day knight, an urban knight.
Hmm.
Town wanted Jake, his character, to be sort of a scoundrel, a guy who was really in business, who didn't really care, didn't really have a sense of personal values. You know, in a way Town put it was, he would do divorce work, which is dirty business.
Yeah, listen, pal, I make an honest living. People only come to me when they're in a desperate situation. I help them out. I don't kick families out of their houses like you bums down at the bank do.
Jake, can I tell you about the guy who...
Maybe you'd like to step down out of the barber chair. Maybe we go outside and discuss it. What do you think?
Marlowe would never do divorce work.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that gave the Gittes character something of an arc. It gave him a way to go. He would start as this sort of venal louse and turn into a guy who really has to learn to stand up for something.
Mm. Do you think that's what interested Town about portraying Gittes as a scoundrel in order to have that character arc?
Well, I think there's a lot of Town in that. There's a lot of every screenwriter
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of any Hollywood person in that. Those of us in Hollywood have to deal with this question of, are we doing divorce work metaphorically? I mean, are we doing good work?
Yes.
Or are we just earning a buck? Yes. So it was a story that was close to Town, close to, you know, everyone that Town worked with, everyone in Hollywood, really.
Mm-hmm. So how does the legendary studio executive and film producer Robert Evans become involved in the making of Chinatown?
Well, Town doesn't want to sell Evans the screenplay for the longest time because Town wants to direct it. And as soon as he sells it to Evans, then it belongs to Evans, and Evans can decide, you know, what he wants to do with it. He can have anyone direct it. But Town spent so long writing this that he ran out of money and so was forced to sell it to Evans, and in so doing, lost the ability to direct it himself. And that's how Evans got involved. But what's so significant about how Evans got involved, and this is part of what the book is about, is that Evans didn't understand the movie, but he said yes anyway, because for him, all that mattered was talent. And he had faith in Robert Town's talent and mm-hmm. faith in Jack Nicholson's talent. And the significance to that is that that's the way Hollywood used to work. You bet on talent. Even if you didn't understand the screenplay, you would say, I'm going with this guy because this guy is Robert Town and his talent is the best way to ensure a successful picture. Now we bet on IP, or what's called intellectual property. We bet on Harry Potter. We bet on Star Wars. The talent of the screenwriter almost is an afterthought, but the brand is what studios are buying. So Evans was really heroic in taking that giant risk.
Yeah. You were able to interview Robert Evans for your book. He passed in October 2019. But what did you learn about the production of Chinatown from Evans?
Well, I learned basically that he, for the most part, kept his hands off. You know, Evans, he famously with Coppola inserted himself where he should not have and caused a lot of difficulty. He was a producer and sort of closeted artist who had a vision of himself as a shaper of films. And he could get a little too handsy at times with the movie, but for the most part, he put his money on the artists and let them do the work. He would say, you know, I'm buying Roman Polanski. If I want to get my money's worth, I'm going to let Roman Polanski be the genius that he is.
Yeah. So how did Roman Polanski end up directing Chinatown?
Nicholson and Roman had always talked about doing something together.
Hmm.
And Roman was a huge fan of Raymond Chandler, whom he had read in Polish as a boy. And Roman, of course, you know, he actually needed the money. He wanted to work. What he didn't want to do was come back to L.A. after the Tate murders. He had been living in Rome quite happily.
Yeah.
And was finally successfully persuaded to come back to America to make this movie because he wanted to work with this group of his friends, including Evans, with whom he had made Rosemary's Baby, and the great production designer Dick Stilbert, and the great editor Sam Osteen. So they said, Roman, come back. We'll take care of you. It won't be scary. And in fact, it wasn't scary. It was a very happy, smooth production.
Chinatown has one of the most shocking twist endings in the history of American film. Can you talk a bit about that and how important you think it is to the film?
I do think it's important, obviously. I mean, because it talks about how corruption is not just political. It is personal. And a man like Noah Cross will corrupt anything. It really drives the story home for those people who, up until that point, have been watching a movie about California water rights.
Mm-hmm.
It says, actually, this movie is about all of us. It is about the dangers of power down to the domestic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone saw that coming.
She's mine, too.
She's never going to know that.
Evelyn, you're a disturbed woman. You cannot hope to provide.
Evelyn, put that gun away. Let the police handle this.
He owns the police.
What is Chinatown's legacy?
It's the American nightmare. It's, as Robert Towne said, it represents the futility of good intentions. Mm. And that is the opposite of the American dream, where good intentions will get you everywhere. Chinatown says good intentions, not only will they get you nowhere, but sometimes they will make things worse off than they were before.
Most people think that Robert Towne's screenplay was what made Chinatown such a great film. After all, he did win an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for it. But you give more of the credits to Roman Polanski. Why?
Well, A, what he did to the screenplay, and B, the filmmaking. The sense of doom that you get from watching the movie. The sense of emotional urgency, which was not so much in Towne's early version of the script. The nuance of the performances and the production design, you know, this team that Roman assembled. Obviously, none of it exists without Robert Towne's script, so I don't want to diminish Towne's contribution. But this haunted quality is not really something that we think of as Hollywood. It would take a European to come to Los Angeles to make a movie that feels as doomed as Polanski's movie, and as doomed as Chinatown.
Mm. Actors recently walked out in protest after Roman Polanski won Best Director for his film J'accuse at the French version of the Oscars because of his history of sexual assault accusations. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something we have to consider and reckon with when we think about Chinatown?
I think, in fact, Roman Polanski's made an incredible contribution to the world through his work. He also did this horrible thing. So I'm at a loss to understand why either one would cancel the other one out.
It would seem
to me that both are facts. I'm grateful that he continues to make movies because if he wasn't allowed to make movies, we wouldn't have The Pianist, which has got to be one of the greatest Holocaust movies ever made, arguably the greatest. So I'm confused why one would have to pick one over the other.
Mm. At the end of your book, you talk about how Chinatown was one of the last movies made in the filmmaker-friendly studios, which were at that time being replaced by the corporate Hollywood of today. What do you think we've lost because of this change?
An art form. I mean, we can still make movies. Good movies will always be made. As long as there is an iPhone and a talented filmmaker, we will always have movies. We will not always have Hollywood movies, movies made by the studio. And that is a certain kind of filmmaking, a certain level of craft, expertise, productivity that only a studio with the resources to pay for productions of this kind can maintain. So that kind of movie, I'm sorry to say, is dying, if not dead.
Mm. But to riff off of another great movie, we'll always have Chinatown.
Yes, we will. Thankfully, we will. And hopefully people will look at Chinatown and they will say, oh, that's not television.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Neither is it what we're seeing in the movie today. That is a way of making film that we call Hollywood. It is a language that is no longer spoken. And so I, as someone who loves that language, want to stand up and say, I wish it were still here.
Sam Wasson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Sam Wasson is the author of The Big Goodbye, Chinatown, and the Last Years of Hollywood. Find out more at WPR.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, David Simon, Eve Barzilay, and Sam Wasson. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta Podcast via Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Special thanks to producer Brad Kohlberg.
When you get so much publicity, you gotta get blasé about it. You're practically a movie star.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
Would you call him a capable man?
Our executive producer, nay, showrunner, is Adam Friedrich.
I'm just trying to make a living. I don't want to become a local joke.
And thanks to you, our alphas. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
I think you know all you need know about me.